Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem and it's complicated. So if you change that, I just can't ignore the signs. There and now it's so loud it hurts. Hear me how in the form
of... On the throw, ball's gonna bounce down, it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes, your green and gold gospel, your Rowdies Talk Radio, live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Matt, and on the other end of the line is someone who knows the difference between would and wouldn't. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, and I don't think I do.
Uh-oh.
It's a double negative.
At least he was on the other end of the line.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me now?
Ah,
can you hear me now?
There you go.
I mean, I don't know the difference between wood and wood. It's kind of a double negative situation.
Well, we'll go ask someone, and hopefully they'll tell if they didn't do it.
Hopefully. I mean, you know, nothing's happening.
The last couple days have been really great for memes, if nothing else, which is sadly all that is great going on lately, if you like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I honestly had not given like a moment's thought to last weekend's game since I got home finally that night. There's been like no news. There's been nothing kind of going on. It's been nice and quiet. And now I'm having flashbacks. I don't like it. Do we have to talk about it?
No, we can talk about how this family goes into a talent agency.
What do they call it, Dan?
The Aristocrats.
Oh. Man, it's a good thing we left out the middle on that one. But if you want to see the middle, I guess you can go find the game on ESPN Plus, and that pretty much sums it up.
We should change the joke to, so 11 men go out in hoops, go out on the field in front of a stadium full of people.
On artificial turf. And, yeah, so for those who didn't watch or didn't catch our post-game show, which is good because that was a perfect example of why we do this show several days after the game.
Yes. I mean,
like, I like doing the post-game stuff, but, well, first of all, it hasn't helped that we haven't won either of the times we've done it.
Yeah, maybe it's us.
Maybe we're born with it. Rowdies went up to Cincinnati. Several changes to the lineup. We'll talk about those in a few minutes. And lost 2-0. So congratulations, Cincinnati. You can put your We Beat the Rowdies star above your crest. We know it's a big deal for you guys, so congratulations. You finally got one. It's a start, I guess. You might get one more before the season's done. Hopefully not. We'll see. Well, should we just dive into it?
May as well.
Good, bad, ugly. Dan, tell me something good from this match.
Taku started.
How dare you.
Taku started.
You got your wish.
Yes, Poku started. I don't know. The first half wasn't bad. I mean, we still looked very disjointed, but we were still able to... We played pretty good. We played defense pretty well. It just... We were... very, very disjointed going forward. I don't think I ever want to see Joe Cole playing on the left-hand side ever again. but I don't know.
I mean, when we saw the match graphic, like we literally looked at each other and we're like, that's got to be a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Aduro's are holding mid, Poku in the center, and Taku's the right wing. But we didn't really get to. The only time we really saw Taku would be when he made that foul at the top of the box, which wasn't ideal. Nothing came from it. But we didn't really hear Joe's name, and we didn't really hear Taku's name. The wings were non-existent. So, like I said, we were very disjointed going forward. But we held up pretty well defensively in that first half. So I'll say that's a good. Honestly, on paper, I like that lineup. I think they need to. I hope Neil doesn't go too crazy this weekend and change up too much. But something. A little bit more training, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It was just very disjointed and ugly.
I will say I was surprised getting to halftime and having not allowed a goal at that point.
Yeah, that's. I mean, they defended very well. I mean, the two goals were pretty bad defensively, if I recall correctly. People unmarked on that late run or the back post run. And then, like, again, just so everybody peeled off to the center and left a runner open. It's just, you know, who's supposed to be covering who. I think one was Tam, left a guy wide open. And it might have been Tam on both. I don't remember. I didn't go back and watch it because I don't like to hurt myself that much.
That's good advice in that situation, I would say. All right, your bads.
The rest of the game.
Well, you got to say something for the ugly, don't you?
The bad was just we were very disjointed in attack. We couldn't get anything, and either that's a credit to Cincinnati disrupting the midfield, or that's just complete discredit to us for not being able to put it together. I don't like to do this because we're just, you know, two idiots drinking beer behind microphones, but. The first sub we made, which I believe...
Speaking of?
Yeah, crack that open because we need it after this. I'm trying to remember the first sub. Let me get back here.
Leo comes on in the 61st.
Yeah, I think it was for Taku. I don't fully understand that thinking. And again, it's not my place to fully question Neil, but I think if Joe Cole, I know he can influence the game, but he's been non-existent on the left wing, you would leave your other natural winger on and put on the other natural winger. But again, what do I know? I don't know I don't fully know the game of football as well as somebody with the experience and knowledge of Neil Collins, but that move kind of baffled me.
So talking about moves for a little bit, we mentioned a few minutes ago, there was a lot of changes to the Rise line coming in. Kyle Porter, which we, you know, had been hinted at for a while, was announced, started, played the full 90 minutes. Taku got to start, like you mentioned. Poku got a start, played a good chunk of the game, 71 minutes. Bonomo got a start as well. But one of the ones we had mentioned, and, you know, I don't want to pretend like we're actually going to take credit for this happening. But Cody Mizell was back in goal, but maybe it was us. So maybe we should, you know, put some other ideas out there and see what happens. For example, should Joe Cole be starting?
In my honest opinion, no. I don't think we need, he doesn't, he's, no, he should, especially on the wing. He should not be on the wing. And I
right.
think Poku will take that attacking midfield role that Joe's played. I mean, maybe coming off the bench, but, you know, I just don't see the need for Joe Cole to start. And this might be me misremembering things, but I don't remember Joe Cole having an impact in the last couple months.
He had a goal in, well, with that win over Toronto, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you or I could score against Toronto.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not to discredit what he did. It was a good goal. But at the same time, like, Joe Cole hasn't. And wasn't he the third goal? Like, it was already done.
Yeah, it wasn't the opener or the decider, definitely.
Right. So, and it's not. I mean, Joe Cole is a, you know, generational talent. But, like, at the same time, you know, just because he's Joe Cole doesn't mean he shouldn't, or he's an automatic starter. I think you take Joe out and put Leo or Morel or Nanchoff on that wing, or, you know what I mean? Just
put like if you're going to play that lineup that they put out there, you know, I get, you know, Joe's the captain. He has the armband. He's the, you know, the guy in this kind of player assistant coach role. But he might be better serving him, might be better serving the team if he, even if he came off the bench as like a 60-minute substitute, or if he came in later for Poku, but put someone like, Leo out there to start or Morel or, really anybody. Cause I did not that he maybe, I mean, there's definitely situations where he could be a starter, in certain games, but with this game, with that kind of lineup, it was a very attacking minded lineup. I don't know that Joe's the right guy for that situation.
No, not in that position. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Definitely not on the wing like that.
I was curious who was going to take, seeing that lineup, who was going to take that left wing slot. And I was very shocked. I think the only time I've ever seen Joe Cole on the wing was Roy Hodgson's Liverpool.
Oh, let's not remember. Let's not talk about those days either.
First half red card against Arsenal. so maybe it's bad luck to put Joe Cole on the wing.
Oh God, those were the that was a day. I don't want to say one of those days, but it was a day. All right, uglies.
The defensive plays that led to the goals. Mental mistakes. We didn't cover the run. It was just bad. I mean, it wasn't a highly aggressive game. What, Fleming's got a yellow, that's about it. And then
yeah, he was the only yellow.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, meh. But the defending on those two goals was bad.
Yeah, I will say, there's not a lot to complain about referee-wise, I would say, in this game.
Yeah, we'll have to go Mike Petke on this one.
Yeah, we're not going to go full Petke on this. I mean, it was definitely a physical, at times, kind of chippy game, but the referee let him play. I mean, there was the Fleming's got a yellow for us, and Ledesma got a yellow for Cincinnati, and that was it in terms of cards being issued. I think overall that was decent. Good. I'm going to throw my goods out there. I guess just kind of getting to see what the mindset's going to be with a guy like Poku coming in and some of these younger guys and getting a start. And also Cody Mizell coming back in, which was a thing that we both were in favor of. So that was a smart move, and we'll probably see more changes as time goes on. I was looking before we came on tonight, the Rowdies do their three things article for every match. And they said, you know, there's been a lot made about how this team kind of looks nothing like it did back in March. And they said, actually, you know, if you even go back to Neil's first game against, what was it, Pittsburgh? Something like 14 of those 17 or whatever it was, like five of those, there's only like a handful of players from even that game that played a role in last night's game. So, you know, I know Neil said this is the time to stop making excuses and start expecting results as far as supporters go and the team itself goes. But the fact is, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be expecting results or demanding, you know, to see better performances, but the fact is, they're still kind of almost in the middle of a major overhaul that may not be done yet.
Right, but it's.
But still,
I mean, we'll get there in a minute. Standing wise, we're slipping. Like if we were treading water, that would be one thing. But we're just
right.
Hemorrhaging points. So this team is too good to not be treading water until it regels and moves forward. But we're dropping. You know what I mean? We're not keeping pace. We're not doing the things. We've only beaten Toronto FC two, like TFC two, in
since Neil took over.
Yeah, and that's been what, a month or two now?
Almost 2 months, I'd say.
Yeah. And we've won two games, and they were both the worst team in the league, not just the conference, the league. So
right,
we
like the team that's so bad they're self-relegating.
Right. It's just they pretty much don't care. So, you know, it's at the, I mean, panic, yes. Like, we need to see something. And I still kind of am the trust the process guy, but, like, I thought these moves and everything going on was so we weren't waving the white flag in 2018.
Right.
But soon we're going to have to, because we're going to put ourselves in too big.
We're going to get ourselves out of the race completely.
Yeah. And it's time to change. And these results are getting to the point of just, you know, screw it. Like, does it even matter anymore? I'd like to see them turn it around as soon as possible. I do like what the players are saying, like, don't give up. Like, we got this. We're working hard. We're trying. We want to win, blah, blah, blah. They're saying all the right things, but it needs to translate to points on the scoreboard and in the standings. This is just – it's – I mean, from our perspective, or at least mine, trying to do a podcast and, you know, polish a turd every week is getting really frustrating. But – it's, you know, I mean, I'm sure if I sat down and went back and watched that game, that there was probably some good life signs there. But it's just, you know, the end result is the end result. And sometimes that's not kind. It's definitely not one of those where, you know, where we outplayed them and they snuck a goal or two in. We definitely
right.
were outplayed and outclassed from the top team in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, after we did last week's show, I went on and did a little bit with Cincinnati Soccer Talk guys, and I my prediction was for a 2-2 draw, which in my head was maybe the best case scenario that I was reasonably expecting. I'm not surprised that we lost. Like, if you told me before the game we were going to lose, I'd have been like, well, yeah, I don't like it, but I'm not surprised by it. But to me, the way we gave up both of those goals for a team where their defense and their back line has been the strong point for such a long time. You know, Cody had a run of games where he wasn't put in the best situation by the defense and the rest of the team wasn't scoring. He's out for, what, 8-9 games, comes back in, and it's the same thing. Like, you know, we kind of joked around that the mindset was to sign a bunch of attacking offensive players and just score a bunch of goals and to make up for whatever you do give up. We're not scoring goals. That's the biggest problem right now, I think. You know, a lot of this could go away if we, you know, if we could give up two but score three, then we're not going to be as concerned about it.
But if you score one, you change the course of the game, right? The pressure's on. They have to open up. You have to do these things. It's a completely different game if you score and you pace them. You know, I think an open game favors us these days. And it's just not working. You're right. Like, goal scoring has been our problem since we, you know, Stuart Campbell, like those three games with Stuart Campbell, his last three games. That was the whole main thing, right? We were losing, but we weren't scoring. We were goalless on the road. And, you know, I'd have to go back to, you know, and check some stats, but like, our goal scoring rate right now is abysmal. I mean, Leon Taylor, credit to him, he had the three goals in his three games, but like, other than Toronto, have we scored multiple goals in a game? I don't know off the top of my head, but it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now.
I mean, let me check results on the... But...
I'm pulling up the results here. I mean, are we talking about just overall or just under Neil?
Under Neil.
All right. Well, we scored two in the first game against Pittsburgh when we drew that 1-2-2. Four in the next one against Toronto, but gave up two. Like, that may have been the perfect vision of the game, but zero against Atlanta United in a draw, one against Nashville in a draw, one against Penn FC in a loss, two in that game in Charlotte in a draw, three in against Toronto in a win, one to Louisville in a loss, and zero against Cincinnati in a loss.
So our goal scoring, I mean, hasn't been too awful. We're just also conceding more. But one goal a game is not really going to do it. It's just, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I don't know.
At some point, the offense has to click, and you know, part of the problem again is we've changed a bunch of pieces, experimented with some different formation. That at some point it will click, but question on our mind and probably everyone else's, will it be soon enough?
It has to be, right? Like, we're at the point where it has to be. It's now or never. Like, we're getting too late in the season to be doing this crap. And, I mean, Bonomo and Fleming's played together in New York. Poku is talented enough where he should be able to, the three of them should be able to, they've practiced long enough now. I think they should be able to figure it out. It's just not clicking. And, you know.
Yeah, there's, looking at the schedule, there's 16 games left, exactly 8 at home, exactly 8 away. We're going to have to get results from these home games, and we're going to have to get some results on the road too.
Oh, we definitely, if we want to find a way to scrape into the playoffs, we have to get points on the road. We can't drop. It's almost like you can't drop any more games. Are we at the exact midpoint of the season? Is there 32 games?
We're one game over it.
Okay.
I want to say.
Yeah. And we're close. If we get a couple more results to fall our way and we can actually win. But, I mean, we have to fight. If we want to make the playoffs, which I think at the beginning of the year we said anything less than the playoffs was unacceptable, and here we are going, well, let's just hope we make the playoffs because of all the tumultuous changes and everything, which, I mean, a lot of that's out of our control. You know, like, you can't blame a lot of this on – it's just been a weird year. But at the same time, like, it's just – as a fan, you had all of the hope and expectation, well, the expectation that playoffs were the minimal we would achieve, considering how good and close we were last year, and we made that good, decent playoff run. And here we are now, like, just wallowing out of the playoffs, and it's just frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, the just getting in the playoffs shouldn't be the minimum expectation. I mean, you know, when we look at what we did last year and then the changes we made coming into the season before we even made more changes, to me, it's you've got to win, hopefully two games, get to the conference finals at the very least with the money and the you put out there and the players that you brought in. Like, if we manage to back in the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round, then there's no point in even being in the playoffs in the first place. You're not getting anything from it besides, you know, the first one to be embarrassed on the way out. I don't know.
But where we are, I mean,
it's very frustrating at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just frustrating is the only word I have for it. But I mean, it's silly to say, and this is not an attack on anybody, because just things just don't, you know, sport is sport. Things just don't click sometimes. But I mean, you can't look at this team the way it's played in the last few weeks and said we could even make the Eastern Conference Finals. That we
no.
deserve to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. We don't even we're not even.
We don't. I don't even look like a playoff team to me at this point.
No. We do. I mean, the only time we looked like a playoff team to me was against North Carolina in the opening week of the season.
Yeah, and against Toronto FC.
I mean, they'd make a rec team look like a playoff team.
But you know, I said this. Well, take a look at standings right now. We'll get to it more later. But we're five out from a playoff spot. We lost two games to Penn FC.
Yeah.
But they've got some good players. That's a team that I think we should beat.
I mean,
if I have to point at two results, you know, that and the Richmond game, but you know, that was kind of in that string of games where we just couldn't do anything. If we had points in those games, we'd be, you know, still, unfortunately, at the bottom of the playoff race, but you'd be there. You'd be in contention.
I think it's on those Penn FC games to me are kind of unfair to point to those two and say those are the ones we should have got results for. They are tied with Bethlehem Steel. They're 2 points out. They're a win above us. You know, Voss is a team or is a guy that, you know, has his team buying into a system and they're playing well. Like, I mean, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot with a game in hand over Charlotte, because Charlotte's playing right now, I believe.
Right.
So, you know, they got it. And Cincinnati's already winning 1-0. So Penn FC wins their next game. They're in the playoffs. Like, I mean, they started the season slow, but Voss is getting them where they need to be, and they're getting the job done. Like, I don't know if it's fair to say that, like, they're the team, the results that I'm scratching my head at. I would say, like, you know, Atlanta United 2 or Richmond would be, you know, ones I'm scratching my head at. They're terrible.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, dropping points there bothers me more than Penn FC. I think you got to give Penn FC a little more credit.
I think so. But, I mean, if we looked at what we thought we were going to be.
Yeah, oh, God.
Coming into this season. Like, those are games that you, at least 4 points from those games. Yeah. Give me a win and a draw, and I'm satisfied with that.
I'll give you that. I'll say that. Especially where, you know, where Penn FC was when we played them and they trounced us. And I think we kind of springboarded them towards this, gave them that confidence. And then lose, you know, what, the loss at home to them was was sickening. Or was that a draw? I don't remember. Oh, no, we lost. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, that was, I mean, let's see. Let me check. Our form is just so bad.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. This just, I don't know. I don't know.
We can probably skip over man of the match, can't we?
I mean, I'm getting into Taku because it doesn't matter.
But let's take a look here at the stats and see if there's one thing that jumps out to us. And I meant to do this right before the show, and I didn't.
All I see is sadness.
Yeah. I mean, you can go back to our passing accuracy, well below Cincinnati in both overall and in an opponent's half.
Yeah, it was just bad. I mean, don't even worry about a stat. Nothing positive comes from it. It was not a positive game.
10 shots, 3 on target. 4 from outside the box, 6 from inside the box. 2 blocked. Yeah, I'm gonna have to just go with the passing accuracy again. I mean, you could say our this is like scrounging for something here. Tackle success rate, 79% for Cincinnati, which I feel is way above average than we would expect to see from someone against us, and 58% for us.
We couldn't even tackle.
23 clearances, though. Oh, wow. Without looking, who gave up the most fouls?
They probably did.
Yeah, and it's really not close. 20-13.
That was
a chippy game.
I don't like them, and I don't mean this in like the, you know, rivalry way. I just don't. I mean, they can move the ball, but I said it in the preseason game. They're just very physical, grabby, and just kind of dirty.
I will give a little tip of the hat to Junior Flemings for his efforts that was rewarded with, I think, a yellow card in the first half when he sent Forrest Lasso into the boards behind the end line. He was obviously getting a measure of revenge for Joe Cole last year when Lasso went 2 studs up into his ankle because he loves him so much and didn't even get a whistle.
They're just a dirty team. I don't know. I'm just angry and bitter and sad.
And it's not even all because of the soccer.
No.
It's just, we'll do this later because this will make you feel better, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right, so let's wash our hands of that one, toss it out the window. Taking a look at the Eastern Conference standings, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Cincinnati's on top, 38 points. I guess if we're doing a live table, 41 if results hold. Pittsburgh at 34. Charleston at 32, Louisville at 29, Red Bull 2 at 29, Indy, this week's opponent, in 6th with 28, Nashville and Charlotte rounding out the top 8 at 27 points, Bethlehem right behind them at 25, Penn FC also at 25, Ottawa, we're even behind Ottawa with 24 points, we're at 22, and NCFC is within striking distance at 20 points. All right, but let's do something. Let's throw something positive in here before we get to the last couple of things. How'd the big green egg go?
Oh man, that pulled pork was A+. I learned a lot on just on trusting the big green egg. But the pork came out amazing, and I'm trying to find a good like 6-7 pound brisket for Saturday.
Do you have to like constantly be watching it to keep the heat where it's supposed to be, or can you kind of set it and forget it?
You pretty much just set it. Once you find out, like, you know, the appropriate vent space to, you know, the airflow to get it to temperature, you just let it go. Like, as long as you don't open it or anything, and just let it go. And that's Jesus Christ, what the hell? I think my house is possessed. I have wireless speakers, and that static is just randomly coming through the speakers. You just kind of set it and forget it. And I didn't know, because it was my first time cooking, so I didn't trust it. So I was constantly up in during the World Cup and checking to make sure it was holding steady. And, yeah, I mean, it just held steady at where it needed to be and for 8 hours, and it was great.
Holy crap, I couldn't be patient that long.
I mean, it was low and slow, man. What was it, 250 degrees? I just put the pork on for 250 degrees with some chips to smoke it and just let it go. And then.
And now there's no, like, vent on it, is there? Like,
what do you mean? Like, there's one on the top and then one on the bottom to let the air flow. That's what keeps the fire going.
Okay. But, so, like, if you had your windows open, you could be smelling that pork all day?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to cook in the winter.
I think we've got the makings of a separate podcast starting here.
Yes, about grilling. I know it's funny because
Dan on meat.
Yeah. Oh, let's not call it that, please. That's just that might attract the wrong kind of listeners.
Well, we're at least going to get an episode title out of it.
I mean, I was talking to, I forgot who I was talking to. Anyway, I was just like, I never understood people who always talk about grilling and, you know, smoking and cooking, you know, smoking meat and cooking and this. I just never understood it. Like, it was never really something I got into. But now I'm like, all I want to do is sit home and just, like, cook meat and veggies, and I can bake pizzas on it. Like, I just want to sit home and cook all day on this thing, and it's a problem.
You'll have to bring some to one of the tailgates sometime.
Yeah, I'll maybe like I can start it for like Friday night or something, and just let it cook all night, and then get up and bring it down.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, I think I might be able to do that.
All right, so see, don't you feel better now?
A little bit, yeah. Now I can't wait to get my brisket going on Saturday.
All right, so moving on. Third week in a row, we're going to discuss the possibility of pro soccer in the Sarasota-Bradenton area. I mentioned it was a possibility that groups were talking about a couple weeks ago, that they had kind of settled on a plan last week. And, just as soon as I talk crap about Lasso, he scores for Cincinnati. Jesus. There's now a name, it appears, and a badge, but unfortunately, because we've become too good at searching trademarks, I don't know if they've actually trademarked this yet or if it's in the process. But there's a Facebook page and an Instagram page for Suncoast Thunder FC. Says that August is going to be like a pledge month. Basically, they're going to try and see what interest there is for a team in the area. Hopefully some of those 150-something people I was smashed behind at the at Shamrock for the World Cup final will show an interest and be out there. The logo, Adam Martin pointed out, the logo and the name, like the colors and everything, look very similar to the Oklahoma City Thunder in NBA. So it's something that might have to get changed because it might not be a big enough difference to where non-soccer people would know it's not related to them. But it looks like there's something out there. So if you want to look him up on, I didn't find him on Twitter yet, but if you find him on Facebook, Suncoast Thunder FC, Instagram, I think is just at Suncoast Thunder. So you go out there and follow him along to see what's going on. We'll, maybe try and see if we can get someone from the group who wants to come on and talk some more about it, especially as we get closer to August, which is they're going to be pushing I don't know if it's going to be, you know, pledge to buy tickets or what it's going to be, but we'll wait and see what happens then. So that's all I got for it. I don't know. I'm still not 100%. Like I hang out with a bunch of the soccer people in this area, but I don't know if there's a lot of people outside that group who are going to be excited for it. So we're going to do what we can and we'll see what happens. Now we'll get to the kind of the random speculative news stuff of the day. The Phoenix Rising, one of their VP, or I guess the VP, I'm not sure. He used to work for San Antonio Scorpions, if I remember correctly, but floated the idea out there about a possible USL All-Star game. He wants to do it for next year, and obviously wants to host it in Phoenix, as long as everyone gets the Diplo bobblehead. I'm okay with that. Did you see the video thing for that?
Yeah. That's you sent me that.
Yeah, plays their goal song. Like, I remember listening to that, thinking, man, we could really use a new goal song. Still, do we have to drag that back up again?
Get Rev Ty on the line. You know, he'll he's got a lot of feelings about it.
It's on the list. So you actually, I was in the process of typing up my first response to it when you DM'd me about it. You're not a big fan of it. I kind of dig it. So what's your take on the whole thing?
No, I hate All-Star games. They're bad. And don't do it. See, the problem with the All-Star game for me is if you do it mid-season, you're putting your best players at some kind of risk and having them play an extra game and, you know, this, that, and the other, and you have to stop the season, right? You'd have to, you couldn't just send them off and play. So you'd have to have a mid-season game. And it's just in a random city, so you can't even really watch. Like, you know, it doesn't really do fans much, except for those home fans, I guess. And then it would take forever. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be that one city's fans that benefit from this,
right?
And I hate that part. I also, again, if you do it mid-season where people would care, you risk your players. If you do it at the end of the season, nobody cares because you got playoffs, championship, everything's over. You know, it's just, I feel like, I mean, I get the appeal, but I don't like it. I don't like the idea. I don't see where it fits in. I don't think, it's a very, and this is, I might get some flack for this, which I'm used to. It's Americanizing a bit of soccer, and it's just weird. I don't think the All-Star game belongs in soccer, if that sounds right. I just hate All-Star games in general. I don't watch any of them, and I definitely wouldn't watch this one. Just in the words of, you know, some people that the new slang, keep it.
Yeah, as a rule, I don't like All-Star games. I will say the NBA ones and the NHL ones are kind of entertaining, at least because they don't take it seriously. There's no, you know, home field advantage in the playoffs for the league that gets the winner.
And MLB did that
or, you know, but they at least, like, they go out there and they make it entertaining. Like, okay, yes, we know no one's going to play defense. There's going to be baskets and goals everywhere. MLB one, I don't like. Like, everything else about MLB one, like, I would maybe pay attention to the home run derby. Like, that's fun. But the whole idea of the game with, you know, different pitchers every inning, but then they're still going to put this thing about, you know, the winning league gets the home field advantage in the World Series or something. I don't know. I don't like the way the MLB and I don't like the way NFL does it. NBA and NHL, I guess, you know, realize, take it for what it is, a fun little break. But because there's so little interaction between the East and the West in this league, like, I don't automatically hate the idea of it. It would have to be postseason. Because, first of all, no one's going to let their players go for a midseason or even like a preseason game if you did it at the beginning of the next year or something. If I was like, if it was going to be up to me to plan it, it would be like the week after the USL Cup, the USL final. Because obviously you're going to have players from those teams that are probably going to be on this All-Star team and you want them to be available. They should take it. I don't know if they do this now. I don't remember. I didn't watch USL Cup last year, but the like seasonal awards, like remember how NASL used to give out the awards at halftime of the Soccer Bowl? If they did something like that, but did it at the All-Star game instead, maybe you've generated a little bit more player interest in it at least.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, Randall made this point as well. Like what do the players get? Who's going to pay them? Are they, you know, some teams just have an X amount of, you know, month contract, and after the final, they're pretty much done.
Right.
Who's going to pay for the travel for the players?
It's got to be on the league to do this, I would think.
Yeah, I would, and I think Napoon said it. I would rather see the conference winners and USL champion get some kind of purse.
Yeah.
Before yeah. we spend the money on flying, 36 players across the, to one place or whatever. And that's the other thing. How do you determine who's the all-stars? Like the best 11s? I mean.
And one of the Cincinnati guys basically said it'd be the West Coast all-stars versus Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati, at least if it was done this year. The fan voting, especially with the way people are able to game that system, I don't think that should factor into it. Because I remember reading the comments on his tweet where, coaches vote but can't vote for their own players, I guess. But at the same time, like, how many coaches have a chance? Because you play everybody in your conference twice, they'd have a little bit. I was thinking like the college football thing where the coaches do the polls but have no idea what other teams are like because they don't ever do anything besides playing for their own team. I guess you could do like a coach's selection or something. Maybe you do like one spot where it's fan selected, something like that.
Here's
possibly.
My next question is: every team represented by one person, or is it just like the actual straight up best 11s or 18s?
I would say you could do this almost two different ways, but combine them. You could have your best 18s, and those are your ones who play. And not everybody's going to have somebody in the best 18, but you could have like another list kind of added onto it, or this is your best, whatever your honorable mentions or whatever. These are kind of maybe the best player from each team, and it's just kind of like a recognition thing. Maybe there's a little cash or reward or something in it, or whatever, or they get to go out to the game wherever it's going to be and take part in the activities or something. But no, I don't think you can. And that's one of the things I really hate about baseball is enforcing that there has to be someone from every team on the All-Star team. Like, there's a reason the teams in dead last are in dead last.
Yeah, but you can still have
Let's
a star.
Not just say, oh, well, this guy's, he's a pretty good middle reliever. We'll take him.
I mean, there's still, I'll say baseball, I think, got that right. Because even if you're on a poop team, that there's usually one player that still stands out a bit. And even, they're a fan favorite and they should be represented. I don't see how currently in the USL it works. I also, again, hate with a passion all-star games. I hate fun. No, I just don't dig it. And I think the league needs to stabilize itself with teams coming and going and also pay, conference and champion, the champions some money. Before we worry about, all-star games. But I also then think the ones that do get chosen deserve, maybe some money or like the winning all-star. I don't know. There just needs to be something, an incentive for the players to play an extra game, especially, like I said, you don't know about player contracts, when they would expire, or how long after the final do they expire. So it's just a weird gray area. Maybe if we gave these guys year-round contracts with a guaranteed livable wage, it wouldn't be such a big deal.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Have you been following this stuff about Sky Blue and NWSL this week?
I saw the article was behind a paywall, so I couldn't read it. But I saw Tenowald, I think it was, going talking about it. But that I haven't been able to actually go into depth.
I didn't read I want to say there was an article on The Athletic too, which I have access to. There was something on there, I think. But then there was a tweet today that the GM said there is a trailer now at the field, with a shower and changing facilities. It's an RV. And that's what the team, and then someone's like, oh, I'm really excited about getting to go shower in the RV while the rest of the team's waiting for me. Imagine being the last person that gets to go.
Yeah, no hot water.
RV. I'm imagining are there RV hookups at the field? Like, where's this water coming from in the first place?
I got an idea. Bill Edwards buys Sky Blue, moves them down here, and calls them the Breakers, and we win.
Or the Strikers.
Yeah, call them the Strikers.
They already owned that name. You have to go buy another one.
True. Bring Sky Blue down. Call them the Strikers. put him in, you know, similar, you know, in the striker's hoops and just put him out there and let's, no, that would be weird. I don't know. I was thinking about, I wasn't thinking about it. It just popped in my head. I don't know how I would feel about rooting for the strikers, even if they're our women's team.
It would be kind of weird. It would feel weird. The other thing, and I'm gonna finish up with this also, the other idea I had in my head, and I got a Pendleton to confirm this. I thought this was the case. So we've knocked NASL for a bunch of things. I'd say rightfully so. One cool thing that I want to give them credit for that they did was, and this is maybe how you go back to your talk about how the game would only be for the fans in that area. The NASL every year would fly out. What was it, like two people?
Yeah.
Two from each supporters group. And they met with the commissioner. They met with the COO of the league. They, you know, kind of talked about, you know, their ideas. Got it, you know, like solicited some input from, because these are like your hardcore fans. And then they would be at the game, which it always seemed weird to me to have representatives from every supporters group at the championship game between two teams that, you know, okay, two of the supporter group people, you know, two of the groups there are happy. But it would make more sense, I would think, for an all-star game, because you'd have people from every team, fans of every team there, you know, put them in the front row or something, and get them on TV, kind of add to the atmosphere a little bit.
Yeah, but it's an all-star game. I just don't care. I will never watch it. Like, that's my thing. Like, me personally will never take the time out of my life to watch a USL all-star game.
I would if we had beer specials.
If it was at Al Lang, then yeah, I would probably go, because more because my friends would be there and it's kind of an event. But otherwise,
right.
No. Like, if it's anywhere else, I'm not gonna fly to it. I have no desire to travel to an All Star game. I have no desire to stream an All Star game. It's just, ugh, no.
And talking about the traveling part, that was something else that occurred to me with my idea of doing it after the USL Cup. Well, USL Cup's like what, beginning second week of November. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it the week after, you're starting to run into the Thanksgiving holiday travel season. People might already have plans. Like it could be kind of a mess if you do it then too.
Right. So otherwise, you would have to do it mid-season, and that's just a god awful idea.
No, it can't be done mid-season. There's no way. First of all, I mean, look at us. Like, how many guys have we brought in the last couple of weeks? You know, suppose one of them takes off and has an incredibly huge back half of the season. You know, suppose that, you know, we go undefeated for the next 16 games and Poku scores 35 goals, and now he's not on the All-Star team.
Yeah. I was taking a little offense personally. The fact, or like, I was confused. I shouldn't say offense because I wasn't offended, but I was confused as to the USL's like mid-season awards. I'm like, who cares? It's half a season.
Yeah.
Like, what was that about? Like, why?
In case these guys get job offers from other leagues and they're gone by the end of the year.
Right. Are you just showcasing the talent now, and then now that the transfer window's open, so they can go elsewhere? Like, what was the point of that?
Not a terrible idea. One of Indy's defenders is up for defender of the mid-year, I guess. Maybe we can get him sold before Saturday.
Yeah, do it, please.
All right, so we'll see what happens with the All-Star game idea and come back to it. In concept, I'm okay with it. Can it actually be done? I'm not entirely sure. Should it be done? Dan, you obviously don't think so.
No.
What if they name it at like the USL All-Star game for Dan?
If they fly me to every one every year and, you know, let me flip,
you're the honorary captain.
Yeah, just let me flip a coin or something, then I'll support it. But otherwise, heck no.
What if they let you be the referee?
It's funny because I forgot that our photographer Patrick gave me a set of yellow and red cards. So yeah, why not? Let me ref.
Oh, God.
Speaking
of dealing with referees, I just saw this get posted. Not only was Petke fined $10,000 and suspended for two games, Salt Lake was fined an additional $10,000 because they shared his comments on Twitter.
Good. More power to I will. Good for him. I think I told him, you know, I didn't tell him, but I tweeted him that if he ever, you know, if he wants to continue to do it, I'll gladly, you know, fly me. They can, Salt Lake can just pay, like, fly me out there on game days. And I will. He can sit next to me, and I will read his post game comments, and we'll just go from there.
They'll put you in like the media, and he'll like text you his comments. You can stand up and say, "What do you think about?" And just go into his spiel.
Yeah, or just give me an earpiece, and then I'll just be like, you know.
He could just look at you and go, "No comment."
Yep.
I like it. All right. Next thing, and this is a little something we're organizing. You know, we've been posting about it, and some others have gotten into it today. And I know it's looking ahead a little bit, but I wanted to throw it out there so people can start making plans. The Rowdies have like an 11-day break between it's like August 11th and August 22nd between games. They're getting basically a bye week. They have a Friday or Saturday game, then a week off, then a Wednesday game. So what we're going to do on that kind of bye weekend when there's nothing going on is get together down at Shamrock. Everyone's welcome, all ages. Just because it's a bar doesn't mean you can't come down. They've got a little warehouse out back to store all their stuff in. And we're going to do a two-pole painting party, basically. Come with your ideas. If you have an idea, if you have like a design already, like on an image file on a computer or whatever, you can email it to us and I'll hold on to it and we'll get it up there. I'm going to bring a digital projector. You guys just bring your fabric, your ideas, some paints. I mean, we'll have some, but I don't know what colors you want to make your stuff. So bring your own paints and brushes. You can get those pretty cheap. We'll supply the location. We'll supply the means to getting this onto your fabric. If you have an idea but no way to kind of put it into an image file, some of the guys from the Mob Tifo crew are going to come down and give them your ideas and they'll come up with something for you. Idea being basically that just by the time and even like so their game's on the 11th and then not again until the 22nd. The 22nd's a road game, so even if you didn't finish everything while we're at the party, and it's going to kind of run all day. Premier League games are that morning. It's the second week of the Premier League season. Chelsea's playing Arsenal, I want to say. Tottenham's got Fulham, so there's a bunch of big London games. They'll be open for those, so you can come watch games for a little bit, paint your banners for a little bit, go watch some more games. There's a couple MLS games in the afternoon. They've got a giant grill out there that we were using last weekend for the World Cup, so maybe we'll do some food and stuff that way, but come on down so that when the next home game rolls around after that, which is Cincinnati coming to town, we can kind of pack out the Mob section and anywhere else in the stadium with some new creative artwork.
I support this. I mean, I think we need it. I think, well, God, what is my phone doing? I'm having a heck of a time with electronics right now. I think the fans especially need to be revitalized, to get the support, get Al Lang cranking again, show these guys that no matter what's going on, we support them through it all. We're not going, especially me, will complain and make terrible, terrible jokes on Twitter, but I am not going anywhere. I support this team. I love this team more than most things in my life.
We didn't trade you to Cincinnati for Boston Razzle Dazzle Brazzle.
No, I mean no amount of razzle dazzle will get rid of me.
You can do some Skyline chili on your big green egg. Yeah, this the whole idea came about. So we were at Mickey Quinn's again on Saturday. Shout out to them for having us out to watch the game, do a little post game show, and we had a good group come out there. And it was really clear, just like listening to people talk, especially pregame and at halftime, there's a lot of people with a lot of ideas about a lot of things that could be done. And I think sometimes it's a case of everyone's got a lot of ideas, but not necessarily sure how to go about it. Like, we'll provide this way to do it, and then we can take things from there. But it was really cool just listening to everybody talk for a while. Like, I didn't even get involved in too much of it, but just listening to them throw some ideas and some thoughts and stuff out there, I was really impressed.
I mean, I definitely have feelings about a lot of that stuff, and I made them known, but I'm not a paying Mob member, so I don't really get a say. I just wanted to throw my two cents in.
So come out there. There's a Facebook event posted up on our page. And if you know somebody who's a Rowdies fan, doesn't follow us, first of all, commend them on their intelligence. But also let them know about it. So maybe they'll come out too. But come on down. It'll be I put on there 11 o'clock, but I'm sure we'll probably start around 10. I mean, to go back and change the time. There's links on the event page for some ideas, some instructions on what to do, basically just so you know how much material and what you need to do for posts and stuff like that. I'm trying to talk my wife into coming out with the sewing machine so we can do the pockets on the side of these right to hold the sticks and everything in, basically. Hold on, I'm being interrupted here by a news update or just my daughter coming to talk, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Are you okay with a 10-year-old saying something on air?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Go Rowdies!
All right.
I will.
Someone's still fired
all
up.
The time.
All right, so let's take a look at this week's opponent. Got a few minutes left. Indy's coming in. Familiar to us. We haven't played them in what, 2 years, 3 years now? First time we've seen him this season, too. Just taking a look at the stats overall. Like we said before, Indy's currently in sixth place with 28 points in the league, 6 points ahead of us. Played an equal number of games. It's a pretty similar number of goals. Roughly, about 10 different shots on target. Stats-wise, attacking, I mean, it's a very similar team. Same number of assists. Conversion rates are almost literally, we're 13.9. They're 14%. Shooting accuracy, we're both at 43.3%. We've had 10 more shots on target, 3 more goals overall in the same number of games. So offensively, it seems to be two very similar teams overall. And we've made a bunch of changes to our offense lately, and it just hasn't paid off yet. Otherwise, you might see a difference in the numbers. We've given up more goals, 6 more goals. We've kept 3 fewer clean sheets. We've faced 6 more shots. Tackles won. They've got a few more, 25, 26 more. Tackle success rate pretty close, 70.5% for them, 73 for us. They've won more duels, better success rate for that. So defensively, they look a little bit stronger. I wish I had the teams they've played versus the teams we've played, because you look at those two statistic areas and it seems very similar teams, and yet here we are 6 points behind.
Because we're bad.
Shouldn't Indy be bad too then?
I mean, we've conceded 6 more goals.
Yeah. 5 of those in one game to Red Bull too.
True.
Throw that in there again.
Yeah.
We've completed more passes. We've got a better passing accuracy. We've got a ton more. They don't do a lot of crosses. They've got 28 successful crosses on the year, 67 for us. They only got a 16% crossing accuracy. So where do we expect to see them play it on the ground, play it through the middle, maybe a little bit more than we do?
I haven't watched it in the game, but probably. That seems to – and don't forget it's the return of Juan Guerra.
He's coming home.
He's coming home, quite unlike football. I'm sad I'm missing it, but I'm also not sad because I'll be eating a delicious smoked brisket.
At least be watching it, right?
Yeah, I'll have it on.
Okay.
But I won't be there in person to see Juan for the first time in forever.
I'll have to give him a hug for you.
Yeah, please. Let him know I said hi.
Yellow card caution, same. Georgie's still one away from a suspension. And Iosi, whose name will be familiar from time he spent with the New York Cosmos, and he's up for midseason defender of the year. Actually, I voted for him for Indy. So we've got two key guys for each team. Georgie didn't play at all last week, did he?
Yeah, he got subbed on, I thought.
I already closed the tab off. Let's go double check and see. He did come on at the end. I guess I'll have to look and see. Because they say he's still one card away. So I wonder if they count the amount of time that he played as credit for not getting a yellow.
I think you have to just say appeared in, X amount of games, because I can play 5 minutes and get, 5 minutes in 5 games and get 5 yellows and I'm suspended, right? Like, or however many.
True.
Is. So I think if you can do that, then you should be able to play 5 minutes and it, count.
Yeah. It's got to go both ways. Huh? I'm good with that. I don't even want to try and make predictions this week. because we'll just be wrong.
I'm out of the prediction business.
My prediction is this is a must-win game.
That's not a prediction. That is the God's honest truth.
All right, so let's wrap this up. We love you.
Let's see. All of these guys, they need the love. Let the love just wash over you, and we're behind you. We'll get through this no matter what. We love the Rowdies, and let's, you know, get the damn bike done.
Yes, I'm going to single out one guy, and it goes back to what you were talking about. You know, the guys are all saying the right things and everything. I'm going to throw out a we love you to Cody Mizell. Watching that game, I don't remember, know if you remember this, right at the very end, you know, it's, what, 7 minutes of stoppage in the second half, and there's like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. He saves a shot, and he's out there sprinting to the top of the box to get the ball out, to try and get it back in play and get something going. When you talk about a guy, and you've mentioned watching him in training, a guy who absolutely never quits and is constantly going, you know, needle in the red zone, as far as the way his motor runs, like, you gotta love a guy like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, Cody's fantastic, and his success is our success now, so definitely
the devil in Hell's Kitchen is back. I'm happy to have him there. Hopefully we'll see him there again on Saturday.
Hopefully.
All right. The money that we're going to spend on Mike Petke's find all comes from our patrons who support us at different levels every month. No patron questions. We didn't have anybody send one in, but those who support us at $10 or above can find the link to send us questions, and we will do our best to honestly answer it, whatever it is. If you want to be a supporter, a patron of us, you can go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod, sign up there. One of the perks, if you're a $20 a month person or higher, is one of our scarves, which I'm actually going to do an update for once. We do have the design out being looked over by the manufacturers. So I want to make sure we get these and get this done in time for October, because if we're going to do some Gold Together stuff involving that, so we'll have more to share about that shortly. Pay attention. We appreciate it. If you, you can give us a rating and review, share it on your social media for the podcast, wherever you listen to it from, whether it's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, I don't know, everywhere, I think, that has podcasts, I think we're on there. Do that. That would be very nice. Thanks again, as always, to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Mickey Quinns, to Shamrock, to Big Storm, and thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. All right, Dan, I'm going to let you go, because I know you were on, probably throw some brisket on the big green egg to have it ready for breakfast. Yeah. My entire family is leaving me for West Virginia for the tomorrow, so I'm going to go hang out with them for a little bit before they go to bed, except they're probably already in bed because they got to leave around 6 in the morning. I got to make sure the rest of my house isn't flooding from this stupid AC system again. Last words.
Peace.
Definitely. See you guys, except for you, Saturday at Al Lang.
Yep.
See ya. The radical there, get along.